Hey, this is your Olympic hero, Kurt Angle, and you're listening to Snug Wrestling. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back again to Snug Wrestling. Happy Friday. 8 days away from WrestleMania. We're right around the corner from Las Vegas, the biggest show of the year. And we have the matches for each day officially. And we're going to go over the matches really quick. What are we going to see on Saturday and what we're going to see on Sunday? What to expect? We also have a prediction episode coming up sometime soon here in a few days. And tonight we're going to go over Friday Night SmackDown. We have one more Monday Night Raw and one more SmackDown after this before WrestleMania. This episode, this is a SmackDown from April 11th. But first, let's go over this match card for WrestleMania. BT, help me out. What do we have for Saturday, the match card of WrestleMania?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to announce this is the source is from Cultaholic Wrestling on Twitter. So shout out to that channel there. These are the matches for WrestleMania Saturday. So what we got here is War Raiders versus The New Day. Jay Cargill versus Naomi. LA Knight versus Jacob Fatu. Tiffany Stratton versus Charlotte Flair. Rey Mysterio versus fucking Ultimo Maga, El Grande Americano. Jey Uso versus Gunther. And Rollins versus Reigns versus Punk.
Right on. And for Sunday, we have, and this is the one that I got this announcement from tonight's SmackDown. And unlike the report from that BT Knight pulled up, I don't think my report is in order. So these matches that I'm about to announce, they are going to take place on Sunday, but I'm not sure about the order. But you can count on seeing the women's tag team titles. Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez are going to be defending versus Bayley and Lyra Valkyrie. We're going to get Drew McIntyre versus Damian Priest. We're going to get the Fatal 4-Way for the Intercontinental Championship. We're going to get AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. And for the Women's Championship, the 3-Way between Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, and Io Sky. And the main event is going to be Cody Rhodes versus John Cena. So those are going to be both nights of WrestleMania weekend. We have 13 matches, y'all. However, I believe Saturday it has 7 matches as of now. Sunday has 6 matches. We still have a couple more shows before WrestleMania in Las Vegas. Is it possible, just for the sake of having the same amount of matches both nights, do you guys think we can probably see one more match get added before WrestleMania? If so, what match do you guys think? Any ideas? Go ahead, Blood.
Well, first things first, I've been the biggest squawker on this. We got a lot of filler matches in here that are taking up the place of matches that should be there. So I'm really hoping that clearly we're not going to get Lyra defending at Mania, even without a story. I was hoping maybe they'd shotgun something in there just as a title would get some showcasing. But now she's going with Bayley up against Raquel and Liv for the tag titles. And I'm a little miffed that they can put her in a championship match for tag team shit thrown together, but they can't let her defend the title she's been holding for several months. That pisses me off. And I'm hoping, if not her, because that ship has sailed, can we at least get Chelsea Green on the card in some kind of match for that United States Championship? Because we got a lot of filler here that I feel like doesn't need to be here. I don't think we need 13 matches for the entire weekend. I think if you get rid of two, let's be honest, let's be real. Do we need Logan Paul and AJ Styles? Do we need Rey Mysterio versus Americano? Is that necessary? And then we've got the fact that now they're probably, it's looking like they're going to throw together some hodgepodge tag match of Randy and LA Knight, probably. Or not LA and Randy Knight.
That's the one I'm thinking.
But it looks like they're probably going to wind up throwing Randy into something with Tama Tonga and Solo last minute, unless I'm correct and the Kevin Owens thing turns out to be a work. And then he winds up blindsiding him next week on Friday, and then the match is back on. And maybe that's why there's a 6 and a 7 on the different nights. Maybe they're supposed to even up one of those nights. But I don't know. I think we can definitely get one added back in, but if I want to see one added back or added in, I need Chelsea on the card, or I need Randy on the card still with KO.
I forgot about Randy. I'm going to call it. Randy has to be on WrestleMania, and I'm going to call Randy Orton versus Solo Sikoa. I'm going to call
possible.
It. I'm going to call it. Yeah.
And that's if it turns out Kevin is shoot injured and it's not a work. But wrestlers never really stop working. Even in interviews with Chris Van Vliet, they never stop working. He's been all – it's funny. He's injured, but he's been in like 3 or 4 different interviews in the last week. You know, so I find that a little odd as well. So let's see if he is actually hurt or if he's going to make a surprise return next Friday night on SmackDown. But if not, just get Chelsea Green on the card, please.
All right. Well, enough about WrestleMania until at least the next couple of days when we do our prediction episode. When it comes to SmackDown, the first thing I want to get started with is, we kind of already covered the main event a little bit. BT, I believe you had something to say about the main event. We already kind of talked about the thing with Randy Orton, how he got interrupted today in his segment with Nick Aldis, the opening segment by Solo Sikoa, which the first thing that led me to think Randy versus Solo was Randy was complaining to Nick Aldis how he doesn't have a match, and then Solo comes out. He interrupts Randy Orton, and then the tag team match gets set up for the main event on SmackDown, Randy Orton and LA Knight versus Solo and Tama Tonga. What do you guys want to, is there anything you guys want to add about the opening segment and this main event with these two teams? BT Knight, let's start with you first, if anything.
I did see the clips of the opening segment. Randy got straight down to the point, brought up the callbacks. I love when WWE does the callbacks. Brings up the fact that he RKO'd Nick Aldis the first time and paid the fine. Doubled it. He said, that's for when I do it next time. But is nobody going to bring up the fact that he also did it to him at Saturday night's main event? Or did he do that to Adam Pearce? Remember when they went up against each other, Kevin Owens versus Randy?
So, Kevin, it was at Crown Jewel, Kevin Owens versus Randy. It didn't even start yet, and it was on Pearce.
That's right. Yeah, I thought that was on Aldis. It wasn't on. No? Okay. Must be bugging. Maybe they are right. So I must be bugging. Jesus. I'm turning into toxic when it comes to English. Jesus. Anyway, I love it when WWE does the callbacks. They got to the point, and Nick Aldis said, I need your respect. And that's the first time I've heard a crowd boo Nick Aldis. Because Nick Aldis really gets along with the crowds very well. Adam Pearce is just a piece of shit. But anyway, Solo and Tama do their thing, coming out. He's like, oh my goodness, I'm not on the WrestleMania card. I'm not on the WrestleMania card. Who gives a crap? I will give Solo his credit. He was very funny when he said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Solo can be very funny at times, so I'll definitely give him his credit. And then Randy comes back at him, you with the yeah. Randy's fucking hilarious. Then LA Knight comes out because he heard his name being announced. Then that's how the tag match implodes. The main event in general was entertaining and fun to watch. It was very fun. The ending was fucking amazing. This is cinema at its finest. As Randy goes into the corner to keep on beating the living shit out of Solo Sikoa, takes him out to the crowd. Blood, if you haven't seen this, I'm going to spoil it for you. Randy's beating the shit out of Solo, right? Then LA Knight and Tama Tonga start gaining conscience in the ring, right? They back up towards each other, hit each other's backs, turned to each other. He's like, "What the fuck is going?" And then the BFT comes out of butt fucking nowhere. One of the best quick thinking BFTs that I have seen since fucking LA Knight hit the BFT from the guy that dived over the top rope. I can't remember if it was on Carmelo Hayes or I can't remember who that was on, but he did the dive off the top rope and he hit the BFT from thin air. One of the best BFTs I've ever seen. This one took the fucking cake. He just hit him in the back. Oh shit, that's time up, bitch! So I had to make a comment on that. That was very funny. And then Jacob Fatu pops up out of nowhere. And then my heart starts sinking. Because I know that if Jacob doesn't win at WrestleMania, people are going to lose their shit. So, either way, this whole thing was just amazing. But one of the best BFTs I've ever seen.
Yeah, when it comes to the opening segment, one of my favorite parts was, you know, what I was interested to hear what Randy Orton, what his excuse was to hit Nick Aldis with the RKO. And he reminded everyone, because I forgot, because this was a long time ago since the first time Randy hit Nick Aldis with the RKO. Remember, I paid you double. I said, here's another 10 G's or however much it was, I can't remember, for the next one. And I popped big for that. But yes, at the main event, the last thing we saw was Jacob Fatu standing tall over LA Knight, holding that United States title. I think we're going to get a U.S. champion, a new U.S. champion. But before I go on to you, Blood, Tommy, anything you want to add about this whole thing with Randy and Nick Aldis or the main event?
The main event. Like, overall, it's very clear that if Randy is not in Mania, no. Because Randy said it himself, that if he isn't at Mania, this will be his 20th Mania that he's ever competed in. 20 of them. And that in itself is impressive with me, especially with how old he is. And let's be honest here, as much as I would love it for Randy to finally just to accept Sheamus's little challenge, because he said on Twitter that he's available, that's not going to happen. If anything, it's going to be Solo. And Solo's going to get his ass kicked. That's it.
No. Toxic, what about you?
I just enjoyed everything about this. I find it funny that, like, anytime something includes Randy, Cody, anyone that has had history with the OG bloodline, including Solo in there, they just come out. And it's right before a big event. And it's just either LA Knight or Cody Rhodes that they end up tagging with. And it's just a good tag match. And I like it.
Yeah, definitely. Randy Orton, he has to be match number 14. He has to be the last match that gets added to this WrestleMania. There's no way we're not going to get Randy Orton at this WrestleMania. Mr. Blood, let's hear from you.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's why I said if there's seven matches on one night and six on the other, you got to think Randy's evening up that other night. So it's just, and keep in mind, like with the match layout for like night one, and we don't know the order of night two. Remember that card subject to change. So I think as far as this segment's concerned, Randy's one of my favorites of all time. That's no secret. I've loved every piece of work the man's ever done in the WWE. I said on our Mount Rushmore piece that we did earlier this week that I thought Randy should be considered the MVP of WWE, because out of everybody who worked there, he never left. He was only ever injured, but he never left. He never went part-time. Even Taker started turning part-time around, you know, 2010, 11, you know, whatever. Like, Randy, for, you know, nearly 25 years, has consistently been consistent in WWE. So I love seeing him get fired up here in the ring. I thought that was great. I love it when he gets angry, when he starts feeling himself on the mic, and he starts doing that, and you know, and then I started thinking, and I started, and he just started, and the voices were coming in my head. Like, when he starts really, really, like, going, oh, shit, you know, he gets that burst of adrenaline. He's so fun to watch. I don't know if I'm the only one who feels this way about, like, Solo and Tama, but when Solo and Tama come out, like, I just feel, I don't know how to say this, like, Solo at one point was very, very over with the OG Bloodline story. So it's so weird seeing how far he's kind of fallen down the card, into mid-card stuff, because I know that he can do more if given the chance, because I think he's incredibly reliable. And I think Solo does a great job for the roles they put him in. I think he goes for it and he doesn't complain no matter what they give him. I just wish that, you know, when he beat John Cena, like, they put him on a losing streak forever, right? And then all of a sudden he becomes the new holder of the Ulafala, and he's running the Bloodline 2.0. And it's like, even then, he could still barely buy a freaking win, you know? Like, they've never really let him kind of cook and be a dominant fucking threat ever since they broke him off from the OG Bloodline stable. Because when he was with them, he was this monster, silent monster. Everyone was afraid of. Everyone was terrified of him. He demolished guys. You know, so it's so weird seeing him go from that Solo to this Solo who can't buy a win. It's just a little, I feel a little bad for him. And I wish they'd give him, you know, more. Because I think he's got a lot of charisma. And I think he's got a lot of talent. And I think he really goes for it. And I appreciate all the effort he's put in, no matter what they've written for him. And if Randy does, you know, go to Mania, and let's say again that Kevin is shoot injured, it's not just kayfabe, then I would say give it to Solo, because Solo, honestly, no matter how they booked him, he still worked his ass off the last 2 years in and out of the Bloodline story, really showing up for whatever they gave him. And I feel like giving him a Mania spot against Orton, you know, I feel like he's earned that. I really do. The main event match, I haven't seen the clips yet. From what you guys seen or said, it sounds very, very fun. But I enjoyed the whole segment. It'd be interesting to see Nick Aldis get back in the ring at some point, even if it's against Randy in some kind of feud. I would be for that, because I know Nick can still go. I know Adam Pearce can still go, and people forget Adam Pearce wrestled for a long-ass time, too. And he and Nick Aldis crossed paths on the indies a lot in their day. But yeah, I mean, I enjoy this. But I think that if Randy gets on the card and it's not Kevin, put Solo in there, man. Really. I think Solo's earned a spot at Mania. I think he's really put in the time in the last year and a half. And I really appreciate him for it.
Yeah, they even teased that, too. Even Randy Orton was like, hey, I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's you, Nick. Gear up. You know, let's go. Me and you at WrestleMania. So,
there were some teases at one point of Nick getting back in the ring when him and Adam Pearce were kind of going head-to-head last year, you know, over the draft and stuff. They were dropping little hints here and there. People forget that.
I want to talk about the women's gauntlet match next, fellas. This was a match that I didn't think I was going to really need to address or talk about, but they got me. When I first saw the announcement for this match, I was like, oh, shit. What are they going to do here, you know? And for those of you that don't know, the gauntlet match is two teams start. And then once one team gets pinned, they get eliminated, and the next team comes in until the final team remains. Now, the weird thing about these gauntlet matches is I don't know how the order is determined. So, obviously, the two teams that start off first, they have the disadvantage, and the final team that shows up at the very end, they have the major advantage. But the winning team in this gauntlet match, the team that won the entire thing was the team that started off first, which was Bayley and Lyra Valkyrie. They started off first and they defeated every single team that came out after them. So the way that they did that, I thought was really good. They made Bayley and Lyra look like a real threat to the women's tag team champions, Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez, that were out on the commentary booth watching this entire thing go down. But throughout the match, there was a lot of interesting things happening. Like, we saw the PFC, which, by the way, is a horrible name, Zoe Starks and Shayna Baszler. We haven't seen them wrestle in a really long time. And in my opinion, the first match was the best match out of all of them. The PFC were looking really good. And then you had Lyra and Bayley that, to me, they work better together in a tag team than they do working against each other, facing each other in a match. So Lyra and Bayley in a tag team, I thought looked really good. The other thing that really stood out to me about this whole thing was Maxxine Dupri and Natalya. They look really good as a tag team together. Maxxine Dupri got a huge pop when she got tagged in. The people love Maxxine. And you want to talk about bad tag team names? What's the name of fucking Chelsea Green security guards? Fucking Secret Hervis? Is that what it is? Why? Okay, they can't come up with anything else that doesn't sound like... It, to me, it just sounds like Secret Pervis, like they're perverts or something.
No, to me, it sounds like some strand of weed or something like that.
My wife just corrected me. She said Secret Service, but it just, that's not the...
It's a cute play on words, but honestly, I think it sounds like some kind of weird strand of an STD.
Yeah,
something weird. I got the Hervis.
So we have the number one contenders for the women's tag team champions, like we mentioned earlier, Bayley and Lyra Valkyrie. And I'm sorry, Blood, but I'm going to call you out, because the people that were complaining that, oh, the women's mid-card titles aren't even in WrestleMania. Well, Lyra Valkyrie is getting her WrestleMania match. She's getting her WrestleMania moment in a tag team match with Bayley. And I say, fuck the haters. That's what I say.
You piece of shit. You ain't call me out for shit because her title is not on the line. This is so bullshit.
There's also people that were complaining about El Grande Americano, Chad Gable, getting a match and not Carmelo Hayes. But I'm just like, look, we have two nights of WrestleMania. We have 13, potentially 14 matches in WrestleMania. There's too many main eventers. There's too many top guys in the company. You don't need to have every single title on WrestleMania. And then
the thing is, These are the brand new titles.
Yeah.
They need a spot for their first year on a roster with Mania. That's why it's so aggravating. They made such a huge deal about debuting them, and to not give them their due on the first Mania that comes up makes no sense to me. These had inaugural tournaments, for Christ's sakes. And for those with the Carmelo Hayes thing, I would say put Carmelo Hayes on WrestleMania if they hadn't put him on a losing streak for the majority of the last year. And as far as concerned, we still don't know if we're getting showcase matches or not at Mania, so he might still be in some battle royal, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal or some shit.
Well, When it comes to Carmelo Hayes, he's still young. He's going to get his moment. He's going to be fine. But when it comes to Lyra Valkyrie, who are you going to put her against? She's not feuding with anyone right now. But who would you even?
They could have put her against Bayley had they booked a story between them that made sense or tried.
Yeah, and we all saw how that went. We all saw how that went a few weeks ago. Do you remember the last time they faced each other?
I do, because I was the
one. It was horrible.
Think about it. I made the biggest think about it. But I genuinely believe that they thought Becky would come back from a hiatus by now, and they were banking on a Becky versus Lyra feud, which is why they put the title on Lyra. And then Becky didn't come back. Like, it was rumored so heavily that she'd be back at the Rumble.
Right. So Becky doesn't come back. So then what do you do with her?
So if that's the case, then you could have just put her there with Bayley instead of having Bayley run a fucking quarter finished feud with Roxanne Perez that went nowhere. And then literally just go, okay, well then let's just put her with Lyra. So Lyra has someone who can work with her, at least working off of Bayley. You know, Bayley is going to help you learn in the ring. And their first match was horrible, but that match this past week was great. So we know they're capable of putting on a great show with each other. Why not just put that match from this past Monday on the Mania card?
The women's titles, when it comes to the women's United States titles and the Intercontinental title, they haven't done anything because they're new. They're new titles. They haven't done anything with them that's worthy enough to put them in WrestleMania. And I know what you're going to say. I know what you're going to say.
I don't think you do.
No.
It just feels like they made those titles just because the fans kept bitching and moaning about it and said, okay, we made them here. But they had no plans for them.
Well, I know what people are thinking, that, oh, well, is AJ Styles and Logan Paul WrestleMania worthy? Maybe not, no. But, like, what do you think is going to draw more attention, Logan Paul versus AJ Styles or Lyra Valkyrie versus Bayley?
Logan Paul and AJ Styles is going to be a fantastic, athletically worked match, but it'll be forgotten two matches later, and we know it. And that's the thing. Do you even remember who Logan Paul versus Mania last year off the top of your head? Just think about it. Off the top of your head, right now, who did he verse?
No, I don't know. I can't remember.
Exactly. So you could have done AJ Styles. You could,
who?
Randy and KO.
Okay.
You're asking me. I have the worst fucking memory ever.
Okay, but the thing is.
And I remembered who the hell it was. Yeah.
But the thing is that when you think about it, AJ and Logan with a great feud, sure, put it on Mania. But then now we're shoving Damian Priest and freaking Drew on there as well.
Hate on Drew and Damian.
I'm not hating on Drew and Damian. Drew was the one hating on his own feud. Remember, Drew was pissed that he was going to have to go into a feud with Damian Priest for this Mania. That was an actual report. He was furious about it. So even he didn't want to be in this feud after the year he had last year. But when it comes down to it, you could have put AJ and Logan on a Saturday night's main event. What business does it have on the Mania card?
The names. You have star power.
Dude, AJ's star power in WWE has plummeted since 2019. Let's be honest.
Nah, the people still love AJ.
They love him, but his WWE career peaked in 2019. It peaked. His biggest highlights in this company are when he was with John Cena and against Roman Reigns.
So
those were the biggest moments in his entire WWE career.
So you would rather have AJ Styles, you would rather have Lyra Valkyrie on WrestleMania than AJ Styles?
I would rather have an incredibly well-worked match by women who have earned their spot by being.
No, that wasn't the question. That wasn't the question.
Adam Logan Paul part-time his way on the Mania card.
Lyra Valkyrie or AJ Styles, who would you rather see at WrestleMania?
Lyra, because she's a better wrestler.
Than AJ Styles?
No, than Logan Paul.
Okay.
AJ, you can put him anywhere and he's great. He's a utility wrestler at this point in his career. But AJ, if he's given the card, he deserves a feud worthy of his caliber.
All right.
You could have given AJ to Randy last minute.
All right. Toxic, let's start with you. Do you have anything to add about this gauntlet match?
Yeah, a couple things. So Natalya and Maxxine Dupri were the second team out, and I just like how Maxxine is getting better than what she was during, when was the last time she wrestled? That's bad when you don't even
like
know.
Like 7 months ago?
Yeah, she's already better.
I'm exaggerating.
She was at the Rumble.
Oh, yeah, the Rumble. Still. She's slowly getting better, and I'm kind of liking it more than what she was first doing. And putting her in there with a veteran like Natalya, yeah, Natalya got pissed off because they lost, but still, they looked great together. Same thing with Bayley and Lyra. Holy shit, I need to fix my English. Yeah, I just like these teams where they put the people I don't want to be rude when I say this.
Just random people together,
Yeah. Like veterans and people that don't have that much experience but have experience in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. BT, what about you? Did you have a chance to check out this Gauntlet match?
Not the whole thing, but I did see the clips. And when I saw Bayley versus Bayley and Lyra win the damn thing, I just had flashbacks of Sammy beating Gable last year when Sammy did not fucking need to beat Gunther at WrestleMania. It should have been Gable. It gave me those flashbacks. But what pisses me off the most is that you can put the tag team titles for the women on the line on a WrestleMania card, right? But you didn't think it was a good idea to develop a story properly with Bayley and Lyra. You decide to slow cook it like you always fucking do, Triple H. You do it with every single fucking feud, don't you? And that's what's been pissing me the fuck off. Triple H's booking has been pissing me off recently. He has been too focused on slow cooking these feuds, and it's booking himself into a fucking corner. It's pissing me off. We've got no women's IC title match. We've got no US women's titles match. And yet you can put the women's tag titles on the line. Better yet, where the fuck are the Street Profits? Where the fuck are the Street Profits? You can put the New Day on WrestleMania, right? In a bullshit feud that hasn't even been fucking built up. With the War Raiders that you haven't done shit with. But you won't put a tag team who... Actually, the whole tag team division of SmackDown could have a fucking match. We could have a better ladder match than the shit that we had at WrestleMania 40. The one that we had at WrestleMania 40 was just so we could give R-Truth his flowers. That's the only thing that we got out of it. Because A-Town Down Under were shit as champions. They didn't even last that long as champions. I don't even remember how long they held the fucking titles for. And that's disappointing. That's very disappointing that you don't even think about these other things before you start doing all this other bullshit. You slow cook all of these other
fucking... Hold on, Tommy. Slow down, Tommy.
You slow cook all of these other fucking feuds that have big names, but some of the big names are in the tag division as well. So you're spending too much time focusing on the big stars of the singles division, and this is the same motherfucker that is addicted to tag team wrestling. So you would rather have a needless feud in the War Raiders and New Day open night one, by the way. And motherfuckers want to talk about opening a show is just as important as closing a show. Then why the fuck is Jey Uso not opening WrestleMania then? Answer me that. If you motherfuckers are going to find a reason why CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre can open Bad Blood when they are a blood feud and they can't main event it, all because of a fucking useless Rock return and a fucking Jimmy Uso return. And Roman and Cody. It's just their names in particular that's making it main event worthy. Meanwhile, Roman Reigns has it in his contract that he can open or main event the fucking shows. But he won't take it out of his time to let his cousin have his WrestleMania moment to main event it. I mean, I get it. He main evented WrestleMania 39. I get it. But still, everyone who wants to throw out the fact that he had a bullshit match at WrestleMania 40 against his brother, why not help him fucking evolve from that and help him get better instead of just pushing him down and shitting all over him. It's bullshit. It's bullshit.
Go ahead, Mr. Blood. And remember, we're talking about the Gauntlet match here. We took a real wide turn there.
Just real quick, because I actually did have some thoughts on the Gauntlet match that I forgot to say, but to BT's credit, and I'll make this very brief, I agree that, honestly, all it would have taken is some backstage lobbying by Roman and Cody and Punk, and they could have easily let Gunther and Jay main event night one, and they could have opened. But that being, because, I mean, they're both the most important spots. But as for the Gauntlet, I wanted to speak on some Maxxine Dupri, because I've been a big Maxxine Dupri supporter for a long time. I think that she got so much unearned and unjustified hate in the beginning when she was wrestling. And it's like, dude, she's green. Everybody has to learn. Like, people were attacking her on Twitter. And it's like, look, everybody has to start somewhere. No one starts out, you know, this, you know, five-star quality indie darling, right? I think she's fantastic. And while I agree with putting her with someone as experienced and a veteran and the mother of the locker room, the women's locker room in Natalya, I just feel like it's also kind of a discredit and a disservice to Natalya that the only time you're willing to give her flowers and dust her off the catering list is when you need her to do something for you, instead of putting her in matches and in feuds and building and putting other talent over by the credibility of her name. But I think that when you take your biggest single stars like Bayley and even Lyra to a degree, because she's a champion, you can say bigger name stars in quotations there, and you throw them together like a Macho Man and you know Hulk Hogan esque, like, you know, all the old, you know, the mega powers esque shit, you know, we're feuding but we're also working together, that cliche in wrestling, and it's like, but they didn't need to win the number one contender spot. You could have given that to, and just off checks notes off the top of my head, why didn't you give that to Shayna and Zoe, who were working their asses off last year trying to make the Pure Fusion Collective mean some shit, while you cut their legs out from under them by firing Sonya, the most interesting part of their act, by the way. But you have these two incredibly talented women who, in my opinion, Zoe Stark is severely underrated to a degree that is laughable that they do not do more with her, and haven't since they broke her off from Trish Stratus. But then you have a legit badass in Shayna Baszler, who was at one point the most dangerous woman on the women's roster, relegated to catering, is beyond me. Bayley and Lyra did not need the number one contendership slot. Zoe and Shayna, more than anybody else in that match, needed that to showcase their abilities on WrestleMania, on the card. And I think that they picked the wrong team to win here. And I just wanted to say that. And I wanted to give Zoe and Shayna their flowers, because they never get them. And I'm so sick and tired of them not getting the credit they deserve for their ability in that ring.
Yeah, the PFC, they look really fucking good in that opening match. I was kind of rooting for them to win it, but Bayley and Lyra, fucking, they destroyed everyone pretty much. But Tommy, let's hear your thoughts about this Gauntlet match thing that we saw tonight.
I truly loved it, but there's one thing. I honestly would have loved to see more of Maxxine and Natty. I would have loved to see more of them. But the problem is, you put them in at number 3 out of the 4 teams. Which, yes, is a great spot for them. But the issue here is...
Wait, are you talking about the PFC?
No, I'm talking about Natalya.
Oh, yeah. Maxxine. Sorry.
The problem with putting them at number 3 is it's either they lose to Lyra and Bayley, like they did, or they beat them and they go up against one of the most difficult challenges out of the 4. That being Piper and Alba. I would have loved to see more of those two. But I knew it just wasn't going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm happy that Lyra is getting her Mania spot. If she wasn't defending, I'm at least happy that one of them is at least being shown. Like, not defended, but at least having an appearance at Mania. Like, sure, Lyra isn't defending it, but she's still going to wear it when she goes out. So it's at least being seen.